drummer express praise. We've seen those playing the guitar, those that are singing express praise. As we look at that this morning, what are we doing to express praise? We sang, but did we put our heart into it? Did we put our soul into it? Just how do we do that? And even though that we may understand that worship is very important, it is a priority, we sometimes struggle with the expression of worship. We are afraid to worship God. So as we look back into the Old Testament, and as we look into the Old Testament, we're looking into the Old Testament because our heritage comes from the Jews. And even though that we're not Jews, we are Christians, it developed and it came through that. Jesus was a Jew. He was raised a Jew and he died a Jew, but he died to set us free. So sometimes we have to go back and look at our heritage to understand how we can proceed on into the future. And so as we look at it, we see that there are personality backgrounds, there are backgrounds and traditions and things of this nature, and it's difficult to praise God. One of the things that we're finding today is simply this: what is the proper way of worshiping God? Now, in the 1950s, we had one set way to do that, and that was to play and see the traditional hymns. Then in the 1990s, they came out with contemporary services, innovative type services, and those types of things. Then we came out with seeker-friendly churches. And as we came out with those, we began to see differences of opinions on how to worship. And then, if that wasn't enough, then we began to reach special people groups. And we learned to worship with the Chinese in Chinese, the Hispanic in Hispanic, in their language of Latin or Spanish. So we see that all of this becomes, so how do we bring it all together to worship? It's hard. We have this morning our contemporary service at 11 o'clock. We'll have a traditional service, so to speak, trying to please those. Some of those that are in the meeting and worshiping God are not even doing it at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Yeah. They're doing it on Thursday nights, Monday nights, Sunday afternoons. You can see all kinds of churches today with their names up there, and you can see that they're meeting at a different time than 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. That's not always the tradition. But as we see, we come and we want to express God and see that it is a major part of our worship. Now, one of the things I've told our worship committee team is simply this. What we need to do is we need to come into the worship service, and when the service is over with and those doors are open, we need to be able to say, wow, now that was worship. And that is great. That's what worship is all about. So we're going to look at David this morning, and we're going to see his kind of worship and the things that he did. Psalms 22:3 says, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises." Israel praised God for the many things that he blessed them with. They did sacrifices. They danced in the streets. They sang. They had tambourines and stringed instruments, and they shouted to the top of their lungs. And they did all of these things in the name and honor of God. So as we come this morning, I'm not trying to say that dancing is one of the things we need to do, although I grew up in the 60s. And when I grew up in the 60s, anything kind of went with dancing, you know, as long as you moved halfway to the beat, even if it wasn't to the beat, it was considered dancing. So in that state, I could say I was a pretty good dancer. Now, if you go to dance school or something like that, they would tell me I had probably two left feet. The best thing I could do was not dance at all. So that's cool, too. I don't do that. But anyway, as we think about that, I want us to pray that we will learn to worship God this morning. I want us not to walk out of here feeling no different than we did when we came in. I want us to worship God in a way that is pleasing. And if you do something, if you want to raise your hands, if you want to say amen, that's fine. Now, if you get dancing on the halls, I might have to get the ushers to come get you and kind of calm you down just a little bit. But anyway, as we worship God, that's what it's all about. How do we worship God? And how do we come here and not let this hour just be I put my time at church? Folks, that's not God. And as we see in this passage of Scripture this morning, we're going to see that God takes worship very seriously. In fact, God is so serious about it that we see in the Old Testament that in just a few minutes we're going to see where a guy died because he was not reverenced to God. And even though what he did was an act of generosity, an act of concern, it was not the right thing. And so as we look at this morning, that's what I want us to see. If you take your Bibles, we're not going to read all 23 verses, but beginning of verse 1, we see the dance of King David. As we look at the dance of King David, we see in this history here in verse 1, the Ark of the Covenant is not a prop for Indiana Jones. If you've seen that, it was this beautiful ark and all of this. This is real, folks. This was a real ark. This was where God had placed the things that were sacred to the Israelites. And we see that somehow or another the Philistines had conquered and taken the ark away. They had taken it into their temple and they had placed it right beside their god that they worshiped, Diana. And they came in the next morning and found that she had fallen over in front of the ark. And they set it up and put that statue back up. The next morning it was falling over again. And they realized that this God, the God of the Israelite, was a God that was more powerful than their God. And so as they began to see this, they also moved the ark to the city of Gath. As they went to Gath, they found out there that the peoples began to have tumors. Not just a few. We hear about this today with cancers. Maybe it is related to this, I don't know. But we do know that the scriptures say they were covered with tumors. And so they tried to move it and they said, what can we do? How can we get rid of this thing? People are dying. And so we see that they took and built a special cart out of brand new wood that had never been used for anything. They got two milk cows that had had calves and had never been yoked. And they yoked them, they hooked them up to this. They put it on there, and they sent this calf out. Now, the thing that is unusual about this is simply this. Here was the symbol of worship, this ark. It was the worship center. Here was this ark, the symbol of worship. And for some 80 years, it was missing out of the Israelites' life. The Philistines had it. And then we're going to see in just a few minutes that not only did they have it, but then after the Israelites got it back, they didn't bring it straight back to Jerusalem where it was should have been. And so as we see this, we see that they're bringing it. And in chapter 6, we see King David's plan to bring it back. It said that he had 30,000 choice men in the military to bring this ark back. And in verse 3, the Bible says, they set the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart. And as we said earlier, God takes worship very serious. And that will be repeated several more times in the next few minutes. God takes worship very seriously. As we think about this morning, how serious are we with God? Worship is not just at 8:30 for you that are here this morning. It's not just at 11 o'clock for those that come in at 11 o'clock. But worship is what? Every time we think about God, it should be worship. Now, I've seen several of you, and I know several of you, and you love music. And when you start playing contemporary music or any other kind of music and it's got a good beat with it, I've seen feet tapping, I've seen hands doing, I've seen people in the cars banging their heads, you know, headbangers, right? Getting into the music. But when we sing, are we singing? I'm singing for the joy of the Lord, right? I'm trading my sorrows to what? The joy of the Lord. But we can make that ugly face because of the sorrows, but shouldn't that change when we start singing about the joy of the joy? Shouldn't that bring a smile upon our face? Shouldn't that light us up that we're singing for the joy of the Lord, that we're doing everything this morning in the joy of the Lord? Now, we don't have a sacrifice table here this morning. We don't have a fatted calf on here. We don't have the fire, and we're not going to slit the throat and drain the blood and all of that stuff like they did in the Old Testament. But folks, what we are doing this morning is each one of us, we're this table, we're the altar. And this morning we should be laying our worship down to God. Too many times when worship services we look and we see what happens is simply this. well, the preacher didn't do anything for me this morning, or the choir didn't do anything for me this morning. They're not supposed to do anything for you, folks. You're supposed to do your own worship. We can only enhance it and help it. And you can help it also. As we look at this, we see that as they brought this ark, they got it, they took it over, and David has got his men. He's got the guy in front, and Uzzah comes along beside it. And as they get to the threshing hole, we see that the oxen stumbled just a little bit. And Uzzah simply did not want to see the ark fall off the cart. That was his thought. So he reaches out to do what? To embrace it, to keep it from falling. Which was not even right. First of all, you don't put the Ark on the Covenant on a cart pulled by oxen. The scriptures were explicit that says what? Six priests picked should carry it. And they had Azareth poles that were special made to carry it with. And that's why those rings were on the side, so you slide those sticks and pick it up and carry it. So they were not even carrying it right to start with, were they? And the Israelites knew better than that, but they did it anyway. And so when it slipped, all of a sudden he puts his hands on it. Now, what was God upset? Why did God get mad and angry? And why did God strike him down? Because it was simply this. They knew better, number one. And number two, these were unclean hands that touched the ark. Unclean hands. So this morning, I wonder how many of us have come with unclean hearts. How many of us have not prepared to worship God this morning? When I was growing up, I had a pastor that was very strict about this, and he really took several years to get it implemented. But what he was saying was when you came into the worship service, it was a time to worship God. And when we came in, we were to do the talking out in the hallways and back outside or wherever. But when we came into the sanctuary, we were to come and to sit down. We were to begin to pray and prepare for worship. And I'm not so sure that's not a bad thing. Because it usually takes us getting in, shaking hands, greeting people, and usually when somebody goes, let's get in our seats, let's begin the worship service, then we jump in our seats real quick, don't we? So you see, what is worship all about? We see the celebration of David. After we see that David was angry with God because he felt God was too harsh, he also saw that it was fierce, so he left the ark right there where it was at. In the house of Adullam. And we see that there he was being blessed. And there David saw that after he was being blessed, his family was being blessed, he decided, shouldn't the whole country of Israel be blessed? Let's bring it on over. And so they went back to get the ark. And when they went, they picked it up, did it the way it was supposed to do. They walked six paces and David stopped. And they did a sacrifice right then and there. Now, different ones have said it for different reasons. Maybe David was trying to make sure that nobody else was going to be struck dead. So he stopped and gave a sacrifice to God to make sure it was pleasing in his sight. Don't know how it was, what it was, but it was only 12 miles that they had to take the ark to. But we do see that David, after the sacrifice, was wearing, in verse 14, a linen, a pot, and David was dancing before the Lord. And I like this last phrase, with all his might. Now, I love to see musicians get into their music. And you can really tell by watching them. I love to watch Jimmy playing on the organ and the piano. You can just tell the intensity that he is in it. And there are times that he has practiced that I have walked in that he didn't even know. He was so focused on that everything is blocked out. But this morning, how focused are we on worship? If somebody walks in the back door in the next few minutes, or somebody walks in this door the next few minutes, what's going to happen? We're going to look over there, see who it is, and think, look who came in late, right? But if we are worshiping God, we don't see who comes in and out of the room, do we? We don't know. And this is what David was doing. He was worshiping God with all his might, with all that he could. And so we see that this is the thing. He came to celebrate. And as the procession continued, Scripture said he was shouting with the sound of the trumpets. Celebration worship. Celebration. Worship should be a celebration, shouldn't it? Excitement. How many of you get excited about things and say, oh, did you see that ball game yesterday? My team won. No, we're excited about it, aren't we? Man, did you see that game, that last play? My man did so-and-so, and you're just all over the place with it. But what about the worship with God? Can we be all over the place with God? Oh, wow, that was a great worship. Can we go out here in this community and say, man, we had a great time in church Sunday morning at 8:30. Man, we worshiped and praised God. We sang praises unto his name. And man, if you begin to do that, people are going to want to come too. And the next thing you know, what's going to happen? This is going to be full. People are looking for some answers, and God has the answers this morning, and we see it. Celebration worship. Verse 17 says, as they placed the ark in the midst of the tabernacle, they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And David blessed the people by giving them food and giving them bread and things like that. And they continued to worship. As they worshiped, things began to wind down. And as they did, people began to go to their homes. And after everybody had left, David decided to go home too. And in verses 16 and then 20 through 23, we see the criticism of Michal, his wife. Notice verse 16. David's wife saw, and she looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. The celebration was over with. Out in the streets. Now David wanted to bring it home. And as he brought it to home, David wanted to, Scripture said in verse 20, David returned to bless his household. He wanted to share his joy with his own family. Don't we want to share with our families the joy of life? Our friends, our neighbors. And as we see this, can you hear the remarks, the criticism in a voice? How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servant as one of those based, and we would use the word today, vulgar fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. There are several things with Michal here that's going on. Number one, her father was the king. And rightfully, as a king, King Solomon's son should have taken the throne. But instead, because of the sin and the wickedness, David became the new king. And as we see David taking over as the new king and marrying Michal, we see that she had resented that. Second of all, we see that she is still without child. She has not been able to bear. And so we see that these things, and sometimes even maybe envious, but we also know that she grew up in the palace. You ever heard of somebody that grew up with a gold spoon in their mouth? She was this. She had a certain decor about her. She had certain etiquette about her. You know, have you ever seen those that are so sophisticated, I call them, that when they drink, whatever they do, that pinky stands straight up? I can't even do it. I can't get mine straight enough. You know, they pick up a fork and they eat with that pinky. You know, etiquette says what? Ladies, you're supposed to sit down, move your legs, cross them over. Guys, we're supposed to do things too, right? There's special etiquette. In fact, I remember going to a Bible college for 1 year, and one of the books that we got was an etiquette book that we had to read to learn and to know etiquette. This is the way she was. She had learned etiquette. She had grew up in the palace. She had certain ways, and she had that royal dignity and honor to keep up. And in fact, what she was saying to David was, you were acting like a commoner, a fool out there today. You're the king. You shouldn't have been doing that. And here's what David's response was. He says, it was before the Lord. It was before God. Go back to verse 14 and you see David dance before the Lord. And verse 16 saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord with all his might. And in verse 21, David says, therefore I will play before the Lord. In other words, what he was saying was he was telling her, you are not going to keep me from worshiping God. Have we let other things keep us from worshiping God? Have we got excited, but just kind of because we didn't want anybody else to know it? We have become ashamed of God, haven't we? And in reality, we shouldn't. Now, second thing we see is the application of this story. Genuine praise is very serious to God. He wants us, when we worship Him, to give our very best, our all to Him. He doesn't care who's around us as long as we're praising Him. That's what He's looking at. And somehow it's very easy for us not to take worship seriously, but God takes it seriously, doesn't He? Remember Uzzah? Remember Michelle? Her complaints closed her womb, and she never did bear any children. God has many priorities in our lives, the scriptures, the word, the witnessing, ministry, but I think probably the most important is worship. Worship. Genuine praise is something that's done spontaneously. It's not something that's programmable. It's not something that's organized. I have learned in the ministry you have to be organized. I have gotten organized. I keep a calendar all the time somewhere near me so I know what's going on. I keep that calendar. I try to sit down and work in the worship services so that we have a bulletin that has the order of service so it can flow better. But folks, David didn't do that. David didn't plan out how he was going to leap and dance before the Lord. He just did it with no thought whatsoever. David's dance was spontaneously before the Lord and for the Lord only. And so genuine praise will always offend somebody. I can remember when I was working construction and I was out of the will of the Lord and I came walking out of the store. We had been working. It was hot down at the beach. It was about 98, 99 degrees. And so I walked out with some refreshing beverages. And as I was walking out, I had a young man that looked at me and says, you're going to hell for that. And I looked at him and I said, I may be going to hell with that, but I'm going to drink them right now because I'm hot and thirsty. We offend people, and I got offended. And then when I got to college, I saw people that were raising their hands and praising God and sign language and tears running down their eyes. And I thought, how ridiculous. How ridiculous. And then I had one of them sit down and explain to me what they were doing. And the next time we went to a concert together, and that person was signing, not for anybody that was a deaf mute there, but because of how beautiful it was. And when they did it, I began to see that beauty also. I couldn't sign, but I could see them doing it. And it was beautiful. That's what we're talking about this morning. We have to praise God the way we do and not care what anybody else thinks. And if it offends someone, if it is true worship, it won't be offensive only temporarily until they can understand what is going on. This morning, the question is simply this: have we worshiped Him today? Or have we been too consumed with ourselves to allow the free expression to worship God? Open up. David got angry and then afraid. He couldn't worship in that situation. Michelle brought him down, told him he looked ridiculous. But David looked at her and he says, it may look ridiculous to you, but it doesn't to my God. And I am going to worship him. I am going to dance. I am going to shout to the Lord with all my might. What about you this morning? You ever been up in the mountains, since we live right here close to it? And one of the places called Echo Lookout, you go up there and you shout because you want to hear the echoes, and you just shout to as loud as you can to hear that echo. What about this morning? Are we shouting to the Lord? Are we worshiping him? Last question is simply this. Is God pleased with my worship? That's the question I have to answer. That's the question you have to answer this morning. Ask yourself that. Is God pleased with my worship this morning? If not, then maybe we may need to make a change, don't we? We need to find out what is pleasing to God and then begin to do it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and this opportunity to look into your word. Father, as David brought the ark back and finally got it to Jerusalem, as he danced and shouted with all his might, Father, may we this morning worship you. May it be worthy in your sight. And may we not be afraid. May we not be ashamed to worship our Lord, our King, our Father. In your name we pray. Amen.